You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode of the Matt's Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Ready to talk some crew here, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, after getting to talk the Marlins with you yesterday, the Brewers seem like a much more interesting organization in terms of their minor league system.
That's definitely a fair statement. The Brewers are exciting. I gotta like what David Stearns has done over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's hopefully you know, they get some guys who pan out, and they've got some guys up and down their system that are pretty interesting. So let's go ahead and just jump right out in then and talk about kind of some of the guys that might be interesting for this season. Matt, who you got?
For this year, probably later this year. But I really like Lewis Brinson. He's got a lot of publicity from him, obviously being the big headliner to the Jonathan Lucroy deal. I hate saying this, but I guess it's the best way to get an encompass for what he can do. Obviously, nobody's going to be Mike Trout. Like, that's not happening. But if anyone has the skill set to be Mike Trout, it's Brinson with some breaks. He's the most athletic, toolsy guy in the minor leagues for me. He's one of my favorite prospects. I really like what he does. Everything, if he just needs to make more contact. I know that's a big if. I don't know if he does. I mean, you got to split the middle on that. He's made several adjustments already. At one point, he was up to 38% when he was in low A with the Rangers. He cut it down to 20% this year. He was battling injuries, so the numbers don't jump out at you, which I think is a good buy low. But, I mean, you still look at his numbers across the minor leagues last year, 268, 15 homers, 24 doubles, 6 triples, 17 steals. I mean, those should translate to something. The key here is the batting average and making contact, which if he keeps making the gains that he's made in the last couple seasons, it's hard to bet against him. He's looking at a guy with gap-to-gap power, with over the fence pop, obviously, good arm. He can play center field. He gets questionable reads sometimes on balls, but he's athletic enough to make up for it. He'll start the year in AAA. The patience needs to get better. He's got about 120 at bats in AAA in his life so far between the two organizations. So I think he definitely goes back there. Definitely a slow burn to get him back up there, but I like Keon Broxton a lot too, and he's in the center field for them now, so no rush with Brinson. Obviously, the injury concerns are real with Broxton, but I do think what the Brewers have done with stockpiling center fielders like Brinson and somebody else we're going to talk about later, like Corey Ray, you got Trent Clark, Brett Phillips. Only one guy can stay there, and I think Brinson is the guy that will stay there because of the arm and the glove. But he also has it's a double-edged sword because he also has the arm strength and the power potential to where he can move to a corner and carry that spot. So Not that that matters as much, because outfield is outfield for us in fantasy, so that's good. I really like this kid. I'm probably irrationally high, but like I said, I love the skill set package, and I think it's a star player if it all clicks.
And, I mean, I love Brinson too, though I think people who are drafting him already for 2017, like to be in the majors and make a huge impact.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, I mean, I think theoretically if he really shows some improvement early on in the season, you could see him up in August. But that's it. Like, August is, like, you know, they would need to move Braun first.
Yeah, I think there's definitely contingent on that. I don't know how – I think Braun is still considered a fan favorite down there or up there, but I don't know with everything he's had happen to him if that's still the case, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chuck would be the guy to ask on that. So, yeah. I mean, moving Braun, if he was a big fan favorite, and then calling up Brinson would be kind of the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's middle of the season, but I really like that idea. I think that's what they should try to do. I mean, they probably are.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they can get something for Braun, you know, who is owed, you know, $19 million in 2018, or $18 million in 2019, and $16 million in 2020, and that doesn't even include, I think, some bonuses.
Yeah,
and it's an interesting
deal. It's an interesting deal because, like, he still has on the field value too. So it's not like it's not like it'd be a straight salary dump. Even though he probably has over 50% of the Brewers' payroll, I think is probably tied up in Braun. Honestly, they've pretty much stripped that thing down to bare bones out there. I don't think there's anybody making considerable money. Him and Eric, was it Thames?
Yeah,
but I mean, it's hard to argue with what Brinson. I mean, obviously. When I threw out that Mike Trout, if everything breaks right, compass and everything's not going to break right, but he has the skill set in the package to where, like,
this is an extremely impact player. This is a future first round fantasy player, more than likely.
If he makes more contact, absolutely, yes.
So, all right, what about other guys that are kind of closer to the majors?
I like Josh Hader. By now, if you listen to me or read any of my stuff, you know my lefty bias is a real thing. And Hader is a lefty. He's 6'3", skinny 6'3", so he's going to put on some weight, hopefully. He's been traded 3 times already, so hopefully that's not going to happen to him anymore. He went from the Baltimore to Houston, and then Houston to Milwaukee for the Carlos Gomez return. Carlos Gomez, Mike Fiers deal. He struggled a lot in AAA. He dominated AA to a .95 ERA in 57 innings, .95. Goes to AAA, 5.2 ERA in 69 innings. So the AA Biloxi team, he did well there. He went up to AAA with a high altitude in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and didn't fare well. No changeup. The fastball-slider combination is enough on its merits to be a mid-rotation guy by itself or a back-end reliever. The little bit of funk to his delivery is kind of Chris Sale-esque. The delivery is. Not the stuff is also, but I don't know if it develops. He doesn't have the changeup, won't ever have the changeup Chris Sale does. He was added to the 40-man this spring, so I do think Hader comes up sometime in the second half. He's going to be a high source of Ks. He's going to walk a little bit too many guys. He's an interesting arm, Francisco Liriano-ish, kind of in that profile. But I really like Hader, limiting the hits. He's been a favorite of mine for a while. Got that long hair. The kind of looks like, you know, some of the trendy guys that are throwing hard now. Left-handed Thor. No, not really. But he has the upper 80s breaking ball. To get lefties and righties out, so Hader's. I think he's a starter long term, and I have him as a top 20 prospect for me.
Yeah, I mean, I like Hader too. Probably not as much as you now that you're saying a top 20 prospect.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, even though he struggled at AAA, the one thing that's encouraging is, you know, I mean, in poor environments in AAA, because you're, you know, you're playing in places that are typically offensive environments. You know, he had some really nice starts, including some, you know. He one of his last starts against Round Rock, where he struck out 12 in 6 innings, only giving up 2 hits, didn't allow an earned run. You know, and that was the third time he'd seen him in like 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, he's, you know, going up against pretty good AAA teams, the Cubs AAA team, the Dodgers AAA team, you know, and putting up some good outings, you know, and then, of course, there's some blow-up outings, but that's to be expected in poor environments and a guy who's learning and working on stuff. So, you know, I agree with you. I don't necessarily think I would put him in my top 20, but I think he's easily in the top, you know, 40 to 30.
And one thing I want to comment too, Colorado Springs is probably the worst park to pitch in that in the PCL. So, to give up less than a hit an inning while still having a 5 ERA kind of points to a little bit of bad luck. So, I mean, you don't know the quality of infield defense that he had behind him. He's more of a fly ball guy, so obviously that park isn't going to work for him there. So I mean, it's a nice time to buy a little bit low. It won't be crazy because I mean, if you have them, you're gonna also do this research, I would hope. But I mean, it's a good time to get him as like the second or third piece in a deal. You know what I mean? Like, see if you can include him in a throw in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. What about other guys that might be closer? We need to start moving to guys who are a little bit farther away.
We can go a couple more close guys. Louis Ortiz. He was in AA last year. He probably goes to AA to start. He's an interesting profile. Came with Brinson as part of that return for Lucroy, who's a first round pick in 2012. First round pick in 2014. He's got a big frame. Sometimes people think it might be too big. Battled some injuries in the last couple of years. He had a strained flexor muscle in 2015 and a groin injury in 2016 that cost him some starts. So the durability is starting to get a little concerned because the body's not where it needs to be. There were some reports after Texas traded him that they traded him because they didn't like his makeup, which if that's fair, I mean, it's viable. He has the stuff to be a top of the rotation guy, but the command, it probably limits him to mid rotation. Although I do like the command now. I don't know if it stays where it is. He needs the conditioning and the better body and better health, which I think kind of tie in on this one, because it's never really any. It's always soft tissue injuries with him, which I kind of worry about that. But there's a lot of other things to worry about too. Like I said, like the body, the stuff is there. It might be a reliever profile because he can't stay healthy. So hopefully that changes.
Would you try and trade Ortiz right now? Because I mean, he has had some prospect pedigree in the past.
Yeah, he's a guy I'm trying to deal if I own him. I think he's going to be a headache to own.
Okay.
But I mean, I like him, but not as much as others. So he's a good guy to try to move now. Corey Ray was their first round pick this year out of Louisville. He was my top initial guy in dynasty formats, you know, pre draft, and then I kind of settled on Senzel and Kyle Lewis and stuff like that. Now I have ahead of Ray, but went to Louisville, 15 homers and 44 stolen bases in his college career. That shows you the tools. Louisville's not a great place to hit for college bats. Obviously, the plus speed, he knows how to use it, gets good jumps. Played mostly right field in college, but he's got center field skills, so I think he can play there. Average arm, good range. Had torn meniscus in his knee, ended his season last year. The aggressive assignment to high A Brevard County, which is in the Florida State League, when they assigned him. He only hit .247, but he showed some ability to walk, had some pop, stole some bags. I think he goes back to high A to start the season. He won't be there long, probably then jumps to double A. I think he's an impact outfielder. 2018 probably is the ETA there, so I like Corey Ray a lot. He's going to cost you a top five pick in dynasty supplements, though, so you have to be ready to pay that price. Your boy, Phil Bickford. I'm not sure what to think of him anymore. I mean, he's obviously have the off the field issues. It's not just issues now. Now it's becoming a trend. I hate to say issues. I mean, getting caught for smoking marijuana, I don't think is an off the field issue.
It shouldn't be an off the field issue because it's not against the rules for major leaguers. But for some reason, yes, the major leaguers will not support their minor leaguers.
Yeah,
in the CBA.
There, right?
So I mean, it's if and when he gets to the majors, this shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, but now he's one more step closer to 100 games.
Yeah.
That's
so now it's a matter of, because they didn't protect him on the 40-man.
No. It's an issue now, though, because now it's starting his development time. So, you know, he loses the 50 games, which isn't that big of a deal in the long term, I guess. Because, I mean, he's his pitching prospect. If you're one of the guys that believe out pitchers that can get hurt, then I guess it saves him some time on the mound. But he's a guy that needs it, though, because he's so inconsistent with the stuff. Loses his release point a lot. But the fastball is up to about 95. He's a big spin rate guy for guys that are into that. A lot of organizations are on high spin rates. His fastball is one of the top. And that also has a two-seamer with low 90s. It gets good sink, gets ground balls. The slider isn't consistent. Good break. Sometimes it's a little slurry, though, and it stays in the zone too much. The changeup can be an average pitch. I like Bickford long-term. I mean, I kind of leaning more and more towards my closer profile that I put on him. We talked about him when he got traded. I said he was either probably a number two starter or a closer, and I'm leaning more toward the closer aspect of it now, only because now the Brewers have more options also, I mean, than they're used to having. And the Giants, you know, the Giants always develop starting pitching better than the Brewers have. And like I said, with the recent trades, the Brewers have more options now, so I wouldn't be surprised if Bickford gets pushed to the pen. Might get a taste of it this year. I doubt it. With missing the 50 games, but it's possible
in September. I think if that was going to be the plan, they would have put him on the 40-man this year.
Well, I would have thought the same thing, but the Cardinals didn't do that with Reyes last year either.
Yeah, that's true.
Similar situation. Bickford's a little bit, probably a year behind Reyes in development, so I don't think he comes up next year, but that's a thing to monitor. It wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world. It could happen.
Well, especially if they move some pieces, too.
Yeah, definitely. Know. I guess Mike's boy is the next guy we can talk about. Eison Diaz.
Mm.
This Brewer system's nice. I mean, we're five prospects deep, and we're finally just talking about Eison Diaz. So that's pretty good depth. He's probably in Double A to start the year, but his line in the Midwest League, which is a pitcher dominant league, last year, 264 with a 358 on base percentage. So you like the approach. Slugging percentage is there. 34 doubles, 5 triples, 20 homers, 11 steals, split time between shortstop and second base, which Orlando Arcia is there. Arcia is going to be the shortstop. I'm not sold on Arcia's offensive game, but his defensive game is solid. So I do think that pushes Diaz to second base. He was MVP of the rookie pioneer level when he was with Arizona. He's 5'10", but he had a 640 slug in the Pioneer League. Transferred over to the Midwest League, where he put up a 469 slug with 20 homers and 34 doubles, 5 triples. Exciting player. He's an average runner with good instincts. Plays up. So he's going to probably get 5 to 6 steals a year in the major leagues. The swing is very similar to Robinson Cano. It's like identical. I'm not copying him to Cano, but the swing is. The mechanics are there. They're like the same. But I really, really, really like Diaz. I think he's getting really touted up. Mauricio Rubio from BP was touting him up a ton. He kind of backed off a little bit in a later chat, saying he doesn't trust the hit tool enough. But I've seen him. I've actually seen Diaz play. I really, really like the skills. I don't know what the Diamondbacks were doing giving him up, but they've done a lot of questionable things with their minor leaguers. He's in the Gene Segura deal, so I mean it was a good return for them. But I'm a really, really big fan of Eison.
All right. What about Jacob Nottingham? I mean, this is a guy that was starting to inch up prospect lists last year, and it seemed to be completely ignored. Is there a chance he can reclaim some of the pedigree, or were people just getting a little overzealous on him?
I think it's a combination of both. I think he can, but I don't think there's a chance he catches. You look at some of the reports out of the Arizona Fall League, like the pop time is really slow. Out of the crouch, throwing runners out. I think it's going to be a difficult thing for Nottingham. I also don't think he's going to hit for average. I think he's a 240, 250 guy with 25 homers, which is nice. But that'll play at first base, I think, but it's kind of a low-end option at first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll put an absolute ceiling on him if everything breaks right as Mike Napoli, but he doesn't have the plate approach Napoli does. So it's not even Mike Napoli. You know what I mean?
It's not
that exciting profile. I think people got a little overzealous there when they found out, like, you know, oh, in Oakland and Houston had him, two really smart organizations, and then the Brewers trade for him, another smart organization. But you got to look at it like this, too. Those organizations also gave up on him. So
that's a fair criticism.
It's interesting. It's if you have him, hold him, because you mean you're not going to sell him for what you paid for him. Ride it out, see what you get. I mean, they do have Andrew Susak there, who I think is I'm a little bit down on him as well. So I mean, the catcher, the future spot is still kind of open there. They got Jet Bandy now for a short term placeholder. I think it's still a long term battle between Nottingham and Susak for that job, but. I'm not as excited about either one as I was this time last year.
Very understandable. Any other guys to talk about?
Yeah. College Bat this year. Everyone's a little bit down on him. A little bit not in the know about him. It's not getting a lot of publicity. One of my favorite bats in college baseball last year, he went to Menlo College. Little known Menlo College. He went to Cal first. And that's my boy Lucas Erceg. I do a lot of draft report stuff, and I dig deeper into the drafts. And there's this website, baseballdraftreport.com. Great resource. Breaks down skills, drafts, you know, comps. People gives them a lot of good profiles. Here's the comp. Here's what they write about Erceg. They said he's a good athlete with plus power upside, plus arm, really good glove, perfect for third base, right? Now they say the comps on offensive, he's a left-handed hitter, so Matt Carpenter comes to mind. But I also see aggressive comps like a left-handed Josh Donaldson and a left-handed Nolan Arenado.
Ooh.
Like, I'm not big on – like I don't think those are going to happen. But when you see somebody that follows the draft for a living, like that's his actual job, and he drops those two comps on you, that'll wake you – that'll get you attention, right? I mean, like
–
College Bat, he transferred because of family issues. And so, you know, you automatically think, okay, maybe something happened makeup-wise that he transferred out and doing all that. But no, it was transferred to be closer to his family, I guess. He has the arm for third base. Baseball America, again, we just read this comp. Baseball America now, in a separate sentence, says one scout who saw Erceg compared him with Cardinals lefty Matt Carpenter. So... that's pretty good. I like Erceg. I think he's a 20-homer bat long-term, and I think the averages are going to be high, 280 range. He's in an organization that has a dead hole, a big hole at third base, unless they're going to move VR there permanently. But I like this kid a lot. He's not getting a lot of pub. I'm real big on Lucas Erceg. I was talking to Chuck about him, our big Brewer guy, and I was telling him to be excited about him, so kind of grab him where you can. If Erceg is a good chance, he's available in a lot of formats, so if he's out there, take him. Pick him up.
All right. Anyone else talk about?
I like Brandon Woodruff. He's probably a mid-rotation starter, I like guys like this. He's out of the SEC, sinker-slider guy, kind of had a velocity peak this year. It's 93-94. Gets a lot of ground balls, which gives him a floor of a higher leverage reliever. Strikes out over a guy in inning, limits walks. So Brandon Woodruff is a kind of a guy that popped up this year. He had a lot of family issues to deal with last year. I lost his brother in an ATV crash. So finally he was able to put that all behind him as much as humanly possible, obviously, and come out there and perform this year. So I really like what he did. I think he takes a step forward next year. Marcos Duplan is a guy they got from the Rangers in a earlier deal. I like the fastball here, plus slider, probably reliever profile long term, but it's electric stuff. Only 20 years old, so he's probably double A next year. Trent Clark was a high draft pick of them in 2015. He was a first round pick. Had a decent season 2 years ago. Spent so much time on the DL last year that it's not even relevant. Anything he did, he only had 231, but he did walk nice. Good walk percentage, 231 average. Came with a 346 OBP. So he has the play skills. Hurt too much. Probably not going to stick in center because the Brewers are deep in that area. Probably moves to a corner. The bat might not play as well. Won't play as well in the corner. He's probably limited to left because of the arm. He's a young hitter, but he's advanced. I think looking at Trent Clark as a future, like, 7 hitter, But, you know, you can look at a guy that's going to put be a fringe guy, 20 homers, 10 steals, 260. I mean, that's some value there. But, yeah, I really like this Brewers system. It's a lot of high-end talent, a lot of guys with high variation. But most systems are like that. But I think this one's one of the most volatile systems in the game, just because the range of outcomes for a lot of these guys is extremely wide, and it's we don't really know what the new player development regime in Milwaukee is going to be like with David Stearns. I mean, you would think they developed a lot of talent in Houston, but I mean, how much development does Carlos Correa actually need? You know what I mean? Like, you look at a lot of those high picks like that, and how much development do they need? They're high picks for a reason. You know what I mean? You're starting from a good place. And I'm very interested to see they have the talent. It's Brewer system is easily one of the top 10 in the game. The top end talent's there. It's one of the best fantasy systems because you look at guys like Josh Hader and Lewis Brinson and you're like, holy shit. You know what I mean? But I really like the system a lot. And they're a little short on pitching depth. That's outside of Hader. I mean, they still have Jorge Lopez, who made his cameo in the majors 2 years ago, struggled last year. It was horrendous. But he looks good in winter ball again, so I think he can still recapture some of that mid-rotation ceiling that he had. So he's a guy not to forget about. If you have him, just hold him. You can't really sell him because you're not going to get what you paid for him at this time last year. Mario Feliciano is an interesting catcher. He's 20 years old. He was the first runner, or he was a high draft pick this year out of Puerto Rico. He's got the skill set to be a guy. He's only 17 years old, but 90% contact rate in the Arizona rookie league is nice. Got some power. He's a catcher, though, and he's a teenage catching prospect, so forget about that name. look him up again in 3 years and see where he's at.
Lucky if you'll find him in 3 years.
Yeah, right. Monty Harrison's I speak of high variation prospects, and here's one. Monty Harrison is a guy, he strikes out so much, number one, that's going to limit his ceiling. But he's got the fantasy potential to be like a top 40 outfielder, like consistently, because he's got the power and the speed combination, double plus runner. He'll hit 20 homers. He can kind of bounce all over the field. He's an athlete. He started out as a shortstop. They moved him to the outfield. But he's extremely risky. You can't really invest too much in it because you don't know what you have. Gilbert Lara, big shortstop. They signed for $3 million. He's a big, big kid with big power, so you might not stick a short. Might have to move to third, which puts a damper on the ceiling a little bit. But that should pretty much cover. Oh, Brett Phillips. I'm sorry. Forgot about Brett Phillips. I'm not a big fan of Brett Phillips as I was a couple of years ago. He's a good defensive center fielder, so he might be the guy that sticks in center field. He's got a nice power speed combination, but the contact rate was only 64% last year in Double A. So that's tough. He made a living in Lancaster, and he was when the Houston organization put up big power numbers out in one of the big offensive parks. He's not going to do that. He's not going to steal 20 bases. He is going to steal 20 bases in the majors, I'm sorry, with the speed. So he's a potential 2020 guy, but the batting average is a complete question for me. So that's going to be tough to put an ultimate ceiling on him. I guess you can comp him to like Colby Rasmus now with speed, but we'll see. I think he could be a little better than that, but he also could be worse. The variation is insane. I wish I had a better feel for Phillips, but he's a guy I go back and forth on so much. Do you have any thoughts on Brett Phillips?
I didn't see enough of him last year to really have any judgments. I sold off all my shares at the peak of his value.
That's good for you.
Halfway through last season because I was in title runs.
Yeah.
Not that I saw anything coming. I thought he was a top 50 prospect when I did it.
Still probably is.
But contact has always been an issue with him. So, I mean, you know, he's one of those guys that if he can get that under control, then he's going to be a guy that can be, you know, a top 50 player in fantasy baseball. And if he doesn't, then
yep.
You know, he could.
He's another guy that goes by the wayside. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
the variance of outcomes here is insane. I mean, the stat line in Double A is interesting. 124 games, 14 doubles, which is kind of weird. It's low. Six triples, 16 homers, 12 of 19 on the bases, struck out 154 times, but he walked 67 times. Ends up to a 229, 332 slash. So the batting average is the 100% key here. And it's hard to predict the batting average. I mean, you can look at the contact rate, which is only 64% and point to low. So I'm going to stick with that. And I don't know if he hits enough. But he could be – like he's a good defensive center fielder. He's not going to steal as many bases as him, but he might not be that much different than Bradley Zimmer, to be honest. But the stolen bases won't be as high. But we'll see. Everything else could be pretty similar.
Yeah, I think that is that's a pretty fair analysis. All right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Feel free to email us or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes and then either email it to us or tweet it at me or at Fantasy Benefits, that'll get you entered into one of our listener leagues or get you prize eligible for some of the giveaways that we're going to have at some point this off season. So please do that, and then make sure you like screenshot it or send a copy of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or at Fantasy Benefits on Twitter. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.